You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey there. You're listening to Muses and Stuff. It's the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx. Yay.
And today we have with us the wonderful Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Welcome, Jacqueline.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
So our friend Jacqueline here, Jacqueline Boyd, spelt the same way as Patty Boyd.
Yes, very true. And I Jenny do Boyd. Also like to be called Jacqueline Dolans, yeah. Just because I like to pretend Mickey is my husband.
Getting right so. Into it.
So you can call me that too if you'd like.
I'll call you whatever you want me
Mrs.
to, baby.
Mrs. Dolans, that's good too.
All right.
Ms.
So, I'm going to give you a little introduction about Mrs. Dolans right here. She's a fellow doll, so I met her at our Miss P's writing group. Did you meet her at a writing group as well, Lynx?
I did as well, yeah. It was our second group. You weren't at the first one.
Right, that's right, yeah.
She's a fellow doll. She is the web mistress to Pamela DeBar and the president of the ILoveMickeyDolans.com. And if that doesn't perk your ears... I don't know what does. I don't know what will.
So, yeah, you've got a pretty unique fascination.
Yes. So that's a nice word to describe it. It's like others would say creepy and terrifying.
But no, I think it's potato, sweet. Potato.
Yeah. Sweet. I haven't been arrested yet. I haven't been dragged away by security. So that's a good sign. He can't be that upset with me. So.
No, you're good.
That's quite the opposite from what I hear.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
So I haven't heard this story before.
Okay.
But Lynx, you have, right? The story of how Jacqueline and Mickey Dolans came to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's hear it.
I guess I was about 12 or 13 and they started showing the Monkees on Much Music.
I remember.
And I just got obsessed with it. Mickey quickly became my favorite just because he was the funniest and cutest. And I loved his curly hair. And I just thought he was the most talented of them all. So as the early 2000s came in, I started following them around, going to shows.
They were still playing.
Yeah, they tour every 5 years or so together, or two or three of them at a time. And then I started going to see Mickey Dolan's solo shows. And then he was doing a show in Toronto, Pippin. So he was here for about 6 weeks.
Aww.
And so that's when the groupie in me came out. I had a friend call me and say, oh, I heard Mickey Dolans is staying at One King West.
Nice.
So I thought, oh,
God
boy.
God bless those friends. Yeah.
So thank you. So I showed up there one night figuring, you know, the show would be over. And sure enough, he was sitting at the bar. So I kind of made my way to the other side of the bar and started chatting with the people he was in the play with, the musical with. And then I somehow steered the conversation to Mickey Dolenz, and they said, oh, he's in the show. I said, oh, I think I heard that. I was like, you know, I just carry around my Mickey Dolenz autobiography. I said, I happen to have it in my purse here. And they said, are you serious? Wow, that's a crazy coincidence. I was like, I know, it totally is. So they called him over and they're like, he's really, really nice. He's really sweet. We'll call him over. You can meet him. So he came over and I was nervous and shaking and he shook my hand.
I love that feeling. I love it and I hate it. Yeah. If anybody has ever met anybody that they really admire or that, you know, you've seen on TV or you think like it can't be possible and then you do.
The butterflies, the legs
turning to jelly.
Absolutely. Yes. He was so cute, heart racing. So he said it was nice to meet me, gave me a hug, signed my book, and then I just like floated away into the night. And then from then on, I just found any way, I guess, to go see his shows. I always prefer his solo shows. I find it's easier to get to him at his solo shows. He's always at the bar after shows. So a good way to get to him is I buy him a drink at the bar. So that helped win me over to him on a couple times. And then I've done some work for one of his PR agents, which was a lot of fun.
How did that happen?
I went to Mickey Dolenz's website and listed, saw all his representation. So I contacted everybody on his representation and sent them like writing samples and said, I'd love to do any kind of work for your agency.
That is so fantastic.
And one of them, only one wrote back, and it was this guy in New York. And so I still do work for him now, but he's one of Mickey's agents, sort of his East Coast one. So getting to do some work for him, and then I started getting more backstage passes to go see him. And then I would say about a year ago, he finally learned my name, called me by name. So that was pretty much...
How'd that make your stomach feel?
I almost died.
Now, there's a perfect example of a girl going after
who and what
she wanted, you know, exactly. And that's it. Yeah. It's going after it. Yeah, it's a lot of like right place, right time, the right friend telling you he's staying here and that. But then it's being smart and it's
putting yourself out there.
Yeah,
I always say this. John Waters has a quote that a no is free. And, like, that's how I try to live my life. Like, if you see an opportunity, it's worth trying. Write everyone. Yeah, see if someone writes back.
Exactly.
Because a no is free, but sometimes someone's going to say yes, and that just opens up your world.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And you started the website.
Yes, that I started, I think, in 2011.
I love Mickey Dolenz.com.
And then we branched onto Facebook. I guess most of the activity happens on the Facebook page, but I like to keep the website there. I just found that there wasn't a place for, I mean, there was a lot of Monkees fan sites, but nothing just specifically for Mickey Dolenz and nothing that really focused on his raw sexuality and topless photos and just talking about how we all, you know, want to hook up with them, that kind of thing.
Now, are we talking about raw sexuality 1970s Mickey Dolenz? Are we talking
60s, 70s? I'd say the 80s was not a good time for him. 90s weren't so great, but now back up again. He's 72 next month, and I would still hit it. I would. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I feel the same way about Tom Petty.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah, I think, you know, my Tom Petty is your Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah.
Although I don't have a fan site, but if you check out the podcast main picture, I mean, come on, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, would I get Tom Petty to sign my shoulder and tattoo it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. if the opportunity's there, you got to take it.
If the opportunity is there. Actually, I was just put in contact with this woman who just moved to Montreal from Australia, Kimmy. Hey, I've always wanted a friend named Kimmy. And apparently she is also one of the biggest Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers fans of all time. So I can't wait to get together with her because I haven't met anybody who feels the same way. I haven't checked Facebook for like a Tom Petty fan, like in that kind of sense. Yeah. But I'm really excited to have her here and really dig into it there because I haven't even mentioned him a whole lot on the podcast, I don't think. And if I have, it's just been kind of briefly.
Hopefully there's a raw sexuality Tom Petty Facebook group that you can join.
Or create one.
Yeah.
That's what I did. I thought there was definitely a need for it. And people responded very well. And a lot of girls, like, they come on air and we just, like, have fun talking about him. And, like, talking about his nipples. And, like, and it's just hilarious. And some people get on and they're very offended by it, of course. They're like, how dare you degrade him like this? I was like, he loves
it. It's a celebration.
Exactly. Like, what 72-year-old man doesn't want to know that, like, 6,000 girls are like, ooh, I love you. You're
and what
so
people
hot.
Might not know, you know, maybe they're not too big into the monkeys, but you were telling us there's, like, 5,000 people in this group. It's there's a big community there of Dolan's fans out there talking about nipples.
Yeah. And then I find them It is after or you'll have to nipples. Go home. If you Google Mickey Dolan's nipples, I guarantee all the pictures in Google will be from my website because I tag them all. So that's fun.
I'm sure that's like specifically looked up on Google quite often.
I hope so.
Well, everybody go do it now. I bet they are.
Well, that was a problem. I would do it. I'd be like, I want to see pictures of Mickey Dolan's topless or naked. Yeah. And I was like, there's nothing
here. Why can't I find a collection of these?
I was like, I know there's tons. He was naked all the time on the show. So surely they're out there. So I went out and found them and posted them.
Thank God for that California lifestyle.
Exactly. Yeah, in the 60s and those little short shorts they wore. Tight.
Oh, I'm getting hot under the collar.
Sorry. It's Mickey Dolan's.
So how are the other guys? Do you try to give them a little attention, make them feel
a little bit, I guess.
I guess they have their own.
Like... They do. I've always found Peter Torx not the nicest guy in the world to get close to.
It's a little cold.
So I've met him a couple times. It either goes really well or he's in a terrible mood. Mike Nesmith, I've only met the once. He's very nice. I'd say he's probably the biggest monkey now that Davy Jones is gone.
Yeah.
He sort of has the biggest fan base.
I think he was my favorite.
Yeah. Most people, the wool hat.
Yeah. He's just adorable.
Yeah. He really was. He still is. He's so talented. So he joined them. They released a new album last year and he came on some tour dates with them.
That's impressive. I didn't know they were still making music.
They just did. Yeah. I mean, the album, it was all written. One of the songs was written by Noel Gallagher.
No way.
Yeah. Andy Partridge from Ecstasy wrote one of the songs.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's really neat. And guy from, I think, Death Cab for Cutie wrote one too.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. So it's a
great
album. Yeah, yeah. It's a very good album. I don't know how well it sold or anything, but.
And Mickey's put out quite a few.
He's done a bunch of solo albums. Yeah, he does a lot of like Broadway and show tunes, that kind of stuff. He's done some like kid albums.
Yeah.
There's one called Mickey Dolan's Put You to Sleep. And it's meant for children, but you listen to him talking in like a soft voice, like this Wonderland for Alice. And it's like, oh. Yeah.
Every rock star should give us one of those. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, album of lullabies. It's very sweet.
Great. Well, do we want to get into maybe talking about some of Mickey's ladies?
Other than me? Yeah.
Other
sure.
than you.
Yes.
Because we know that you're the main one.
Obviously.
You know?
Obviously.
It's like I call Tom Petty my main man.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, he's my main man. Yeah.
Main man.
So we know that you're the main woman, but let's talk
he
about
He does
some
have some
those
from
earlier
the past.
Women. Yeah.
Yes. I would say Samantha Just was the main one. That was his first wife. She caught him when no one else could. He was a bit of a womanizer. Not in like a
just enjoying
disgusting way, just he liked women. And they met in England when they were over doing a tour, the Monkees. He met her at a party for the Beatles. Mm. She was hosting Top of the Pops mm-hmm. at the time, and she was kind of a model at the same time. He fell instantly in love with her. The first song he ever wrote that was released on a Monkees album, he wrote it all about her and meeting the Beatles, and that's a really sweet song. Actually, I have like some of the lines from it because it is really, really sweet.
And Lynx, you've featured Samantha on your Vintage Groupie website, right? So yeah. You've seen her before, you know.
Oh yeah, she's gorgeous. I'm sure you could probably still find photos on the Vintage Groupie website or on Google. There's plenty. And if anyone looks her up, it's easy to see why Mickey would love at first sight. She's just...
So how old were they about when they met?
He would have been about 22.
Okay. I like how she was kind of like a host, you know, she was a personality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A British personality. She was pretty famous over there. I don't think he had any idea who she was when they met.
But she was hosting a great party and
the Beatles were there.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's definitely,
she was part of the scene.
Yes, definitely.
Let's hear those lyrics.
Oh yeah. So this is the part of it. She's a wonderful lady and she's mine, all mine. And there doesn't seem a way that she won't come and lose my mind. It's too easy humming songs to a girl in yellow dress. It's been a long time since the party and the room is in a mess. The being known as Wonder Girl is speaking, I believe. It's not easy trying to tell her that I shortly have to leave.
Aww. That's so sweet.
That's why she's my favorite of all his... After me, of course. She's my second favorite.
That's so sweet. I love having things written about me.
It doesn't.
I love having things written to me. And I have maybe a collection of like 10 letters of a scaffold paper, front to back, small writing, that a musician that I used to date just wrote me letters and put in like songs or lyrics to his songs and wrote his own things to me. Aww. And I cherish them.
Yeah.
And I cherish him.
Yeah.
I have a little tin full of past love letters and things like that. Yeah.
If you want to win me over, it's not easy. I mean,
it is easy.
It is easy if you write me a damn good letter. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a song about me.
Yeah. But something about just the handwritten, you know, either delivered in person or coming in the mail.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Put in the effort. Women will love you for it.
For sure. Yeah. Tip to the men out there.
Hot tip.
So he lived in LA and she lived in England.
Yes, but she pretty much came right over. They got married. They had a daughter who also became an actress. What was that movie she was in with Tony Danza? She's All That or something? No, not She's All That. It was in the 80s. Anyway, she was really cute in it. And then, of course, in the 70s, he joined the Hollywood Vampires. You know them?
No.
It's like Keith Moon was shaking in her head now. Like it was like this Alice Cooper.
What?
This it was like this awesome. Like group of partiers that hung out in
Alice
LA.
Alice Cooper, Mickey Dolenz.
They are best friends.
No way!
And they play tennis together.
Oh my god!
They are very good friends, actually. Yeah, it's weird.
Oh my god, just imagining them playing tennis.
There's like, pictures of it. I'll have to send you some sometime.
I just have my hands up in hallelujah pose.
And they played with O.J. Simpson one time. There's pictures of that. Weird. Yeah, weird. Really weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What were we saying?
The vampires.
Oh, yeah, the Hollywood vampires. So it was basically like a lot of hard, hard partying, a lot of bad, hard drugs. And she had the baby at home and he was out partying, having his friends over. And he was just cheating on her, that kind of stuff. So she finally left him, took the baby, and I guess he took a bit of a downward spiral after that. And then he met the next wife, another British girl, and then he moved over to England to be with her. They had three more daughters.
These are all ladies?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, all women. He's surrounded by women.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they split up. It's hard to say what that breakup was caused by. They don't really talk about it. I guess they are friends now.
Speaking of, not talking about, when the one thing that I'm so interested to talk to somebody else about Tom Petty about is there's so much mystery surrounding his wives, his relationships.
Yeah.
It only just came out recently that he had more of a drug addiction problem than he ever let on, and he never mentioned it in the Running Down a Dream documentary because he didn't want to be a bad influence on people. He didn't want people to think that that it was okay to do that. Because his career was so successful, but I think, and yeah, he really, even in his breakup album, you could tell that he was really sad, but you couldn't really figure out what he was saying or what he was trying to say because he was trying to keep it so private, which made the album almost less than what it could have been because when he's at his best is when he's really kind of projecting in this really honest and raw way. But I'm really curious to explore those sides of him. And I only put it together recently too that he had an affair with Stevie Nicks. And by affair I don't mean like he was stepping out and cheating. By affair I mean he had a love affair. And he was like, Stevie was just always showing up and how can you not? And really, and then you see that video, the couple of videos that they made together when they were recording Stop Dragging My Heart Around and Insider, and you're like, you can see it.
Absolutely. I didn't know that.
Yeah, people with Mickey might not know that side of him.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people, because of the lighthearted fun that the Monkees were, people tend to not really dive deeper into their personal lives.
And
I did also watch the Monkees when they were on Much Music.
It's a great show.
I totally forgot about it until you just... Yeah.
You'll
mentioned
have to watch it.
It
again.
How many seasons? How long did it run for?
There only two seasons.
Okay.
And then they did two movies after.
And Jack Nicholson had a
yes, he
part
like
of
wrote
writing?
And part directed Head. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I like though that, people sort of make fun of the Monkees. They were put together. They're not a real band and all that. But there are people in the scene who certainly did respect them as musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And they all did like play their own instruments and stuff.
Yeah, like at the beginning it was like studio musicians for the first couple albums, but then for their album Headquarters they just took complete charge of it. They wrote every song, played every note, and Mickey always says too, there's a scene at the end of one of the Monkees episodes that they asked them, everybody says you don't play your own instruments, and no, it was Mike Nesmith who said, I'm just about to walk up on stage in front of like 100,000 people. If I can't play my own instrument, I'm in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. So they all had to learn, like Mickey had to learn how to play the drums so that they could go on tour.
Yeah.
So he did. Davy Jones didn't really learn anything, I guess, except like
tambourine
and maracas.
For Mickey, it was music first and acting second?
Acting. He was first an actor. Like, he was a child actor. He was in a show called Circus Boy.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I remember now. Yeah.
And then he tried to sort of get into music. He was in a band called Mickey and the One-Nighters. And his joke is always, because that's how long we lasted. and then he tried out for the Monkees. But they tried out for it as a show. Mm-hmm. But they did have to make sure they could sing. And then when it came to picking instruments, I guess they were just like, okay, Mickey, you're the drummer. He's like, all right, fine.
It was like fate.
It was.
Like decades later.
And he's a great drummer too. Like he still gets up and drums on stage, which is awesome.
It ignited a passion.
Okay, so I have a question. Speaking of Much Music boy bands shows, do you remember the show Together?
Oh my God, hell yes, I do.
Oh, wow, yes.
We're gonna hang together, oh. You and me forever. Oh my no God, one's yeah. gonna something together.
And S Club 7. I loved yeah. S Club 7, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. S Club.
And they were all so manufactured, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really liked what I liked about Together was they were a total spoof on the boy band.
Yeah,
it was like a
parody show. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, the hardest part of breaking up is getting back your stuff.
Yeah, I don't remember it that well.
You remember the lyrics. That's impressive.
And didn't they all have, like, that spiky, like, greased up hair?
Yeah,
like,
Chris Farley's brother was
that's right.
Shy guy.
Yes.
There was, the bad boy.
That was funny.
Yeah.
See, I guess every generation has those.
Yep.
Put together.
The Monkees were the first to do it, though, I would say.
Absolutely. They paved the way for the shows that we grew up with, for sure. Yeah.
The cheesy shows.
I'm glad we were lucky enough to live in a time where they were still playing the reruns of that. I don't think they air anymore.
I think they do in the States, on some channels, but I don't believe up here anywhere. And I don't think it's on Netflix either.
No, it's not. Every once in a while, I miss the Monkees.
Yeah.
You know, Head will be on TV or something, and I'll get into that, and I'll be like, damn, I wish I could rewatch these, but...
Such a good show.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
They are on DVD.
God bless you, Much Music. Yeah. I guess you were good for something.
Back when they actually played, music mostly, and then a little bit of shows.
I haven't watched Much Music in years and years.
It's unfortunate.
Or when South Park's on, I guess I watch it sometimes.
One of the last times that I was watching or talking about Much Music, I was having a conversation with my cousin Elizabeth, and she was like, so it was 3 p.m. and I don't know if she was at work and they had a TV and they turned it on, but it was right around the time that kids get home from school, and she turned on Much Music and it was the video with Iggy Azalea and Jennifer Lopez, and it's the one where they're just rubbing their booties on each other.
Nice.
And it's just the song Big Booty. About having a big booty, and then they just rub it on each other.
Wow.
Just that's brilliant.
Up and down and just bending over. She was just like, wow, this is it. Although I'm sure we had our provocative videos for us in the times too. And
I think it sort of started with the teen, Britney Spears type of thing.
Yeah, and there was TLC and Salt-N-Pepa before
but
that.
But they were a little older. I remember Brandy and Monica, they were the teenage girls.
Yes.
And if you watch their videos from the 90s, they're wearing parkas and literal parkas in their videos.
Yeah.
It wasn't about skin.
Sex. It was Britney then.
Yeah. It's interesting how that shifted at that time.
I remember having a sexual awakening moment during Quit Playing Games with My Heart and Nick Carter, the rain is just falling on him. And I remember being at my grandmother's house at the time in my younger, my cousins that were around my age at the same time were around me. And I just went, okay. So I have a crush on him, but don't tell anybody. And then my cousin immediately went and told somebody, and I was like, he's
So while you're having your sexual awakening with Nick Carter, Jacqueline is having hers with shirtless Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah.
And we know that Roxanna had hers with Axl Rose. Mm-hmm. Pamela DeBar had hers with Elvis. And Lynx?
It was like a collection, I guess. For my generation, it would be Silverchair. I was mentioning that
Daniel
to you before,
John.
I think. Yeah, Daniel Johns.
So I need to look up a picture.
He has... speaking of sexy videos, it's not really sexy, it's kind of gross, but there's this video where they're it was
sexy
freak.
To you?
Yeah.
Gross,
and
else.
They turn up the heat, so they're sweating and they're all wet and sweaty. And the idea of that is gross, but at the time I was ooh, what's happening? You know? Yeah.
Did he marry Natalie Imbruglia?
He did.
Okay.
He did. Nice music trivia.
That's
there.
Awesome. Yeah. I loved her too.
And now he's sort of falling in Justin Timberlake's footsteps. He's doing dance falsetto.
Yeah, I feel I haven't heard from him
long
time.
Silverchair doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. He's doing some weird. Huh. I'm not sure. He still looks really good. He's sexy as hell.
Good.
I'll show you later.
Okay.
He is cute. He's Australian too, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so what did Samantha do? She had the baby.
Yes, Amy.
Was she still modeling or being a presenter? Or
not really. She was sort of Mickey's wife once they got married. She would just sort of get caught up in the monkeys thing. Of course, the fans hated her at first, as they always do with the wives.
Yeah.
I seem to remember Mike Nesmith didn't tell for a long time that he was even married.
Just John Lennon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure Patty Boyd got death threats.
Yeah.
And she said it was from American girls.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
And same with Cynthia Lennon. Like, when people found out that she was with John, it was like a big to-do.
Yeah.
Well, look at what people did to Yoko, too.
I like Yoko. I always felt bad for her.
And that's interesting because we were talking about your experiences with being a Mickey groupie and how you're not a wife.
No.
Not officially. No, in my head, at the moment. And you're not having an affair.
Right.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the hugest reasons why Jacqueline is so interesting.
Yes.
I mean, there are so many things that are so fascinating and interesting about you. You're so smart. You're so beautiful. But also, you for us, I think, gave us an aha moment. Like, we had an epiphany moment with you in regards to deconstructing and constructing groupiedom.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there are people out there who believe the term groupie is solely represents like a sexual
sex.
Yeah.
Sex.
And what we've been trying to do here is explain, like, there's so many different levels to it, and this is a huge one. This is probably like the most common one.
Yeah.
There are people everywhere who have a love for a certain band, a certain musician, a certain whatever, and they might not know them personally even.
Yeah.
And even with you, you're this type of groupie, but you've also experienced like the stigma behind the term, even though it's not
sexual... Just assumptions.
Yeah.
Just a lot of assumptions. A lot of people think that I'm just trying to sleep with Mickey, or that we have slept together. Just even like getting backstage at a shows, that automatically makes people...
Like, sex is the end goal.
Yeah, but it's not. It's I really just want to like hang out with him and like watch what he does and watch him eat chicken wings after the show and like talk
just
about
out,
like whatever he talks about.
Yeah. Be a friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that we got here, and I'm happy that we did, because today what came into the library was the groupie book.
Yeah.
The
Barren Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just this beautiful hardcover, huge book of groupies that I don't even know all of them. And it's a lot of the pictures that were taken for the 1969 Rolling Stone magazine that was just about the groupies. And I took, and before you guys came over and I showed you the book, and we didn't even have time to really get into it. It would have been too much to fill our brains with like before this episode. But I took one picture because there was one page that popped out to me, and it says, like, if you can see, you know how like they have the page of writing, but then they have the big quote in the middle. There are no tawdry scenes for her. If she is backstage, it is because she happens to be a guest.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how there are people who truly believe groupie equals sex, and then there are people who know better, but still, like, there's this jealousy.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a camaraderie. There are. I mean, we certainly have that.
Yes.
If like one
but
of us
rare,
gets back,
yeah.
It's like, yes, like that's fantastic. Yeah. But in every scene, there's like,
And I'm
negative.
Finally because...
But if you guys were two like hardcore Mickey Dolenz fans who'd never met him, never been to a show, and here I am sitting here talking about all my experiences with it, some girls would get insanely jealous of that.
I think
why
it's
not
natural
why
to
not
be
me?
Jealous, but to like, to take it out in a negative way on that person who happens to be, like, lucky. It's an interesting thing, and It's unfortunate that it happens.
Yeah.
But I think that we can, we've all been there. When you, like, even myself, I have, I think it was maybe last year where I was really evaluating some negative character traits that either I had assumed or I've really, like, in the past that have hurt me or hurt relationships or hurt people. And I thought about times where I was jealous. And now if I ever feel a feeling of jealousy, which now, because it's been a conscious effort and work to not have this feeling, it's thinking like, okay, well, what does this person have that I don't? And then how can I achieve this goal or how for myself or what is it about this person? What is it like? What essence do they have that I would like to embody? Yeah. So instead of like turning against them or wanting to be them or wanting to be angry at them, what they have, instead trying to turn that into a positive already, being like, good for them. Yeah, they've worked hard.
Exactly. Yeah, they put themselves out there.
They put themselves out there. Now, if they've then it's my turn to sort of step up. And it's like you, and then that's just that, like, well, you just can't have things handed to you all of the time. Yeah, you get great luck, and but like we were saying, positivity attracts positivity and negativity attracts negativity. So
it's true. Yep.
And even if your sole goal was to sleep with someone,
and that's okay too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's your decision or another person's decision. You don't, if you don't agree with that, you don't have to do that in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to judge because that's a goal for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Well, like talking with like he travels now around with the same band. Mm-hmm. So I've become friendly with them too. And that's actually how I also get, because they bring me in and and they always say it like, you know, we travel to all these places. So in each city that we go to or each area, we have we think of our friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we come to Toronto, we get to see our Toronto friends like Jacqueline and my friend Tyrone, that kind of thing. And that's important to them. That almost means more to them than, you know, the girls coming drunk after the show, like throwing themselves all over, which happens to Mickey all the time. And he literally just like takes their arm off and he says, don't touch me. Please don't touch me.
Oh.
It's great.
Wow. It's great. And you know, I've been the drunk girl.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd have done that. Yeah.
And I've been in your position where I've looked at the drunk girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like now more in that because I don't need alcohol is courage, and a lot of times that's what happens with the little dollies is that they really want to meet somebody, and if they're going to work up the courage, then they need to knock back a few, but then by that time they're just, you know. I've been definitely in both positions, and I'm now more on the side of, you know, you keep it together, you acknowledge that you're as much as you can, even though your legs are jelly.
We've all been on both sides.
Yeah,
and you just try and just use that confidence and just admit, like, I am a fan or, you know, and then, and that's true. Sometimes relationships like this, they build years, it's years to form because it's built on trust and that's friendship, and then it turns into family. So if, even if, I mean, I've gone into shows, I've gone into nights where I've seen a picture of a band and I've gone, I want to have him tonight. And it's happened and it's turned out great, or it's happened and I've never seen them again, or it's not happened where I've been like, I'm going to sleep with him tonight and it didn't happen. But 3 years later, he's my best friend.
Yeah.
Something else happens. Exactly. And this should be hopefully open people's eyes that, like we've been saying, the word groupie isn't about one thing. It's just, it covers so much ground. And to not make assumptions about the term in relation to a woman, don't think you know what her story is yet until she tells it to you.
And before we were recording, we were talking about, again, this like deconstruction of the decades, the 60s groupies, the 70s, 80s, 90s. And then because I don't even know if we figured out a name for the 2000s, like the 2000, 2010, because I know for me, I'm definitely the like 2009, now going into 2017, 18 to 20, probably. There was like a lost period. And yeah. they were all there. So it was still happening and the women were here. But it was almost like we became silenced in a way. Yeah, there were message boards and there were girls.
If you actively sought it, you could find it.
Yeah. That's it.
But yeah. it wasn't like the 60s where Rolling Stone is reporting on yeah. them. And they're in documentaries. And
it's not like what we're doing now. Like, we're in in faces and we're in yeah. ears. Yes. And we're saying, yeah. hey, this is happening. Yeah. You know, this phenomenon is still happening. And exactly. it's fun and it's kooky and it brings liveliness to shows. And it brings, you know, family and friends together and yeah. girl power and friendship and
absolutely and everyone who's listening is a groupie for something.
Exactly. We all are.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Yeah, all it means is like the love, like yeah that deep love for something. Yeah, and in this case, like a musician.
Exactly. And it doesn't even have to be about music. You can be passionate about any
actors
type.
Yeah. even yeah, yeah authors, that kind of thing.
Anything. Fandom is a huge thing online right now, and mm-hmm. that's a form of groupiedom.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, like bringing the G word back into everybody's mouths in a celebration. So Miss P is really still at the forefront of this revolution. And so we mentioned that you were her web mistress.
Yes, she calls me her web mistress. Isn't that the greatest name?
It's ever? The greatest name ever.
It's even on my LinkedIn profile, I think, as a web mistress. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little
so
bit?
So that, she just like randomly asked on her Facebook page a few years ago for somebody to take over doing her website. So I knew how to use WordPress, so I sent her my stuff. She called. When she called me on the phone, I was like screaming in my head, so excited, but tried to play it cool. She was so sweet. And I guess the problem was like they just couldn't find anybody. They wanted somebody in LA, but she found me, so I started just updating the website. So anytime she's doing workshops, traveling and doing workshop tours, her rock tours, that's the other big thing she does, and I'm dying to see one day.
Awesome. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. This summer it's happening. Oh, if I'm gonna see Laurel Canyon, it has to be with her.
I saw her house last summer because we were in California, so we went to see her, and I saw her house and I was just like,
from the photos, it looks like magical.
It's magical. And now she's selling it. She sold it, actually. Aww. But whatever she does, it'll be amazing the next home.
Yeah.
It's just such like a unique, distinct taste.
Very eclectic,
taste.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane. There's something to look at.
Everywhere.
Every inch
her
of the
memorabilia
apartment.
Must be unbelievable. Ugh,
yeah, it's gorgeous. And her backyard, she does these big backyard concerts mm-hmm. out there all the time. So she has quite the life.
It's too bad we don't live there.
I know.
Dancing in the backyard.
Well, we'll go and we'll visit and we'll be there.
That would be fun, like a Toronto Dolls to LA.
Yeah, we can meet the LA Dolls.
I really want to connect with the LA Dolls. I want to connect with the London Dolls.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's like, there's a
text. New York. They've got a big one. Chicago.
England. Just started England.
Just new, yeah.
Is there one in Portland or something?
Yep,
like that?
Portland. Yeah. She goes to Portland, Austin. She does a lot. Fairmount, Indiana, because that's like the
James Dean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So she goes there every year, and they do like a big James Dean event. She won the dance contest there this
year.
It's really
sweet.
Cute. Yeah.
See, Pamela's a groupie for actors as well.
Yes.
True that.
Yes.
Oh, but I mean, I was too, because when I was, you know, sweating over the Backstreet Boys, I remember one time I was in my room and I had my TV and my VCR and like my dad set it all up for me and the Backstreet Boys were performing and then my parents came in my room and I was like, why am I becoming sweaty to my parents? And they were like, my dad was like, my dad looked at my mom, he's like, well, that's how I used to get when I started when I went on the first few dates with your mom, because I was putting
putting
like Kleenex like under my eyes.
I love that your parents witnessed your like, first hormonal awakening.
Oh God, I just remembered that.
So funny.
That's so cute.
So
Yeah, and imagine how heartbroken your parents must have been. Like, oh God, it's starting.
It's starting. Yeah, here it comes.
I can remember the look that they gave each other, and I get it now what they were giving each other. But they just thought it was funny. Like they thought it was cute. But not only was it Nick Carter, but then it was Leonardo DiCaprio and Devon Sawa. You know, now and then. Casper. Like I definitely had a look that I was
Jonathan
into.
Brandis.
Oh yeah.
So there was the actors were there too.
Yeah.
But
any kind of talent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like it's just great to appreciate and acknowledge talent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then I remember I was definitely into Nick Carter, but then I was like, what would it be like if I started thinking about AJ? What would it be like if I, like, I remember when the Moffitts album, not the early stuff, okay. but like when they got hot and they released like Bang Bang Boom.
I don't remember that. I remember the early years.
Oh my God. We'll watch the video for Bang Bang Boom after. And I would think about just like they were just on rotation for me. I was like, well, why would I just choose one? You know?
Yeah.
Like when you can, in your mind, think about five.
That's true. Exactly. Actually, me and my best friend, we used to keep a journal. We would both write in it. And in the back of the journal, we had two columns. And one column was all the guys that I had a crush on, and then the other was hers, so that like we wouldn't get angry with each other. Like he was mine and this guy was hers.
Ours is that too, yeah. Like we all get choose which Backstreet Boys you like and you stick with it.
Not like
no crossover.
I like Nick, so you can't like Nick.
Yeah.
That's true.
I was Kevin. I loved Kevin.
I was never a Backstreet Boy.
No.
No. No. That's any boy band. That's like the age I got into the Stones and the Beatles and all that. Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So no one had a problem with my list. Yeah. They were like, you keep these old guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't until like later high school for me and then like early university that I really started to get into like that kind of stuff. Yeah. But now it really makes me think of what an active imagination I had.
Yes.
When I was, you know, 10...
Preteen girls.
10, 11 years old. Time. Preteen.
It's such an important time for, like, shaping...
Oh, for sure.
What you're like, who you are.
Yeah.
It's a fun...
But we're all here today.
Yeah. We made it. We survived.
Whatever boy band or not of choice, we are all in the same room, talking on the same podcast.
Yeah. About our love.
Yes.
For each other. For musicians, for all right, is there anything else that we want to add before we say where we can find Jacqueline online?
Just want to thank Jacqueline for
fun.
This was wonderful.
I was very nervous, but this was a lot of fun, so thank you for having me. It is,
you gotta come back
maybe. Talk about Mickey again. That would be nice.
Right, and then, and make sure that we get more dolls together, come back for another writing workshop, anything like that we can just be together and...
Yeah.
That's it. So, can you just repeat your website?
It's just www.ilovemickeydolans.com. On Facebook, the page is just I Love Mickey Dolenz.
All the nipples you could ever want.
If you need Mickey Dolenz nipples in your life, then I'm here to help.
And who doesn't?
That's the question.
I could go for some Mickey Dolenz nipples tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. We've got a few pictures to check out, a couple music videos to watch, and a couple nipples to
check out.
Okay, and you can find Lynx and I on Facebook at Musics and Stuff, Muses and Stuff podcast, and on Instagram by the same name. And then our little website blog, www.musesandstuff.ptbopodcasters.ca.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.